WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Any opinions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not represent the thoughts or opinions of 90.7 WVUA or the University of Alabama.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the wildest story you will hear this year. This is Season 1, Episode 6 of Pulse of the Nation, the podcast that covers the hottest political news stories of the past week. I am Braden Vick, your host of the podcast. Now, you people you see McCurtain County in here, and you're wondering, what is in McCurtain County, first of all? Well, it's a county located in the far southeastern corner of Oklahoma. Of course, it borders Texas, it borders Arkansas, and that sort of stuff. But it also has around 30,000 people. Its largest city and the county seat is called Idabel. Now, McCurtain County, a little bit of political history here. McCurtain County is a part of the region of southeast Oklahoma that's called Little Dixie for its resemblance to the South in regards to, you know, the political shifts that it has undertaken over the past 100 years. So prior to the 60s, 70s, so it was a solidly Democratic county, as was most of the South during that time. But, you know, during the Civil Rights Movement and over the past, 50, 60 years, there has been a massive shift towards the Republican Party, as the Republicans have been shifting to being a more solidly conservative party, the solid South becoming solidly red, solidly conservative. McCurtain County followed that shift and is still following that shift to this day. In 2016, President Donald Trump was the first Republican to ever clear 80% of the vote in McCurtain County, and Donald Trump improved in that margin in 2020. He got the most percentage of the vote of any Republican ever in McCurtain County, even though he ultimately lost the 2020 presidential election. But a little bit of other history regarding McCurtain County is the fact that over 13% of its population is Native American. Now, why is this? Well, you can go back all the way to the 1830s and in the president of Andrew Jackson, because McCurtain County was very much affected by the Trail of Tears. Maybe it was Trail of Cheers for Andrew Jackson, as he was ethnically cleansing and forcibly moving hundreds of thousands of Native Americans out of the southeast United States, including in the state of Alabama, towards Oklahoma and the surrounding areas, what was then known as Indian Territory. You had Cherokees, Creeks, and Seminoles, Choctaws, and I believe one or two other Native American tribes. They were forced out and moved to Indian Territory, what is now known as Oklahoma. McCurtain County was affected by this, and it still has a very healthy Native American population to this day. Demographics of McCurtain County, there is a decent black minority population, and all 10% of McCurtain County is black for what it's worth, especially prevalent in the Round Idabel. So, a bit of history there. But let's dive into the news story a little bit. Now, a bit of a content warning here, because What I am talking about involves talks of murder, joking about people dying, refers to lynching, rape, affairs, child porn even. Yeah, like when I said in yesterday's episode that this is going to be the wildest story you hear this year, I'm not joking. I am not joking. And I think this also gets into the importance of local news, because this was all broken by the county newspaper, the McCurtain News Gazette, and reporter Chris Willingham especially. His name will appear a lot in this because he was the journalist who was targeted by the sheriff's office, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But there's been a trend over the past decade, with the internet and people, including myself, lots of people getting their news online, either through Twitter, through, online versions of these magazines like the New York Times, Washington Post, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. You get the point. But that's led to a massive decline in print journalism. And you've seen this all across the country where, print newspapers either have to fold altogether, transition to an online-only source, or they have to be bought out by another, much larger company that will, that won't print as much, that will forsake you know, efficient and consistent publishing in the newspapers. Like, instead of publishing a newspaper every week, they'll maybe publish it every 2 weeks starting a month, just so to make a little bit more profit. And if this fate had happened to McCurtain County, then who knows whether I would even be talking about this, whether anybody would even be talking about this situation, because it was because of local journalism that we have this story, that the country, the world has this story to see it. So 5 minutes in, on to the story. And we're going to start out with a bang, because on Sunday, this was when a lot of the allegations, the main allegations, were broken by the News Gazette. It was reported on by Oklahoma and eventually national media. So there are four county officials that I want you to know. They are the McCurtain County Sheriff, who goes by the name of Kevin Clary. He was elected in 2016 as a Democrat, but I believe he switched registration Republican. I don't know. It doesn't matter. There is a county commissioner by the name of Mark Jennings that I want you to know. He represents District 2. And there is also Alicia Manning, an investigator and captain with the McCurtain County Sheriff's Department. And also there's Larry Hendricks, who is the jail administrator for the county. And this is not going to be the first time you hear McCurtain County corruption, because back in the 1980s in Oklahoma, there was a massive scandal involving hundreds of county commissioners across the state who were accused and found guilty of local corruption. This includes all three McCurtain County commissioners at the time, who were ultimately arrested and charged and found guilty of such crimes. So let's get into Sunday's reporting. So let's just dive right in. So these four county officials, they were recorded by local reporter Chris Willingham, unbeknownst to them, of course. And in the recording, they were caught talking about a bunch of heinous things. So let's just go them one by one. So the first one, they were talking about murdering journalists. They just put it out there. Like, I can't sugarcoat it. Like, there is no way for me to sugarcoat the sheriff's office, the Sheriff Clardy, and these other county officials discussing hiring hitmen to murder Chris Willingham and other journalists with the News Gazette. Like, let's just start there. Like, we've seen Saudi Arabia murder Jamal Khashoggi because he published articles in the Washington Post that were critical of the Saudi regime. I mean, I would say you wouldn't see this in the USA, but given, you know, the power that sheriff's offices have in county governments in the United States, who knows? Like, this probably has happened all across the country. We just don't know about it. They just report it as missing cases in most of these cases, in most times. And bodies are either never found, or if they're found, they're covered up or whatnot. So this has probably happened before, but the fact that it's been caught on tape, recorded, the sheriff is talking about hiring hitmen to murder journalists. Yeah. Secondly, they were joking. Okay, so there was a tragic house fire in McCurtain County that resulted in a woman dying. And they joked about, essentially, they joked about the woman who was burned to death, and they joked that they could cook her in an oven. Yeah, joking that you would eat that you would not only eat a human, but eat a dead person who has been burnt. Or joking about comparing the house fire to that one getting cooked, and then it just even talking about that kind of thing, just God, it makes me want to throw up. Ugh. And it's a good thing that the disclaimer is out. Like, you know, we have a disclaimer, you know, the opinions I express here are not the opinions of WVUA, but I'd like to make an exception because I think everybody here that works for WVUA, that works in WVUA, from station manager all the way down to, you know, even the editors of this podcast, they would all agree that joking about cannibalism, talking about murdering journalists, and lamenting the lack of lynchings in the county of black people is generally a bad idea. That's what Sheriff Kevin Clardy did. He referred back to the 1980s where there was a McCurtain County sheriff. He said that, you know, this sheriff would essentially beat up, you know, black people who were being caught by the police, and he lamented the fact that these people weren't hanging from a tree. Like, lynching. Like, what are a lynching? I don't have any other words to say other than just complete disgrace. Just complete and utter disgrace. So, this, oh my goodness. So, this is so heinous, so evil, so racist that the governor of Oklahoma, Kevin Stitt, had to step in. He just flat out called for the resignations. So, that happened. Next day, there are protests outside a county commission meeting in Idabel. So, I think there's only one person showed up to it. I think it was another county commissioner from District 3. I can't remember his name. But we had other people chime in on this as well. The mayor of Idabel, Oklahoma, by the name of Craig Young, who is black, he called on the resignations of those officials because obviously it hits a bit closer to home for him considering the racial tensions, you know, that the United States experienced ever since its inception. I could go into an hour-long dialogue about, you know, the history of slavery and discrimination against black people in the United States. But that's a topic for another day. What is a topic for today was the fact that on Monday it was announced that not only the Oklahoma Attorney General was investigating the story, so too was the FBI. I mean, generally when the FBI gets, you know, publicly involved in local corruption stories, generally that local corruption is, I mean, not exactly the best, even compared to other local corruption stories. I mean, I could tell you New Jersey has been racked with political corruption for decades and barely hear anything about it. So for this to be widely known across the country, you know, it had to be the utmost heinous situation. But these two weren't the only bodies investigating the situation. So too was the McCurtain County Sheriff's Office. But not exactly in the way that I'd all hoped. Because the Sheriff's Office accused Chris Willingham of illegally obtaining and altering the audio. I don't know how you can alter that audio. Like, generally, I've been trying to wrap my head around how you can alter the audio to make people say things that they may not have said. I get the AI technology with ChatGPT and everything else. I get that it is rapidly advancing, but it is not that advanced yet. And especially not for some rando Oklahoma sheriff. You know, at least he was some rando Oklahoma sheriff prior to this news story breaking. And they said they were investigating whether state communications law was broken during this time. They referred to the Security of Communications Act, Title 13, yada, yada, yada. It's a bunch of, you know, legalese. But the problem with Kern County Sheriff's Office saying this is two things. One, that a 2022 circuit court case in the 10th District, which contains Oklahoma, it was Irizarry versus Yahya in 2022, and it stated that it is a First Amendment constitutional right to film the police. So just flat out, I mean, the police cannot stop you from filming. That's what this court case ruled, and considering that the circuit court has jurisdiction over Oklahoma, and considering the fact that the sheriff's office counts as a police unit, this also applies to the McCurtain County Sheriff's Office, so McCurtain County is wrong there. Secondly, Oklahoma is a one-party consent state when it comes to recording, i.e., the parties who are being recorded do not have to consent to being recorded for it to be legal. So Chris Willingham was absolutely within his rights, within state law, to record these people doing these heinous things and talking about doing disgusting things. And the reason, but let me tell you about some of the reasons that they were discussing hiring hitmen to kill a journalist. It was because of one thing. First off, there was an incident in either a couple years ago, it was last year, that Chris Willingham FOIA'd the county government. And FOIA is the Freedom of Information Act. You can request information from any, you know, county, state, or national government. So there's two lawsuits. The first one regards, you know, it was filed by the McCurtain News Gazette and Chris Willingham against the McCurtain County Sheriff's Office and Sheriff Clardy. This involved the death of Bobby Barrick. He was in McCurtain County Sheriff's custody And he died, of course, in custody. And, of course, also involved denial of open records request. Now, this reporting comes from Aaron Christie with KJRH in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So, an officer who reportedly tased Barrick to death, he resigned after the incident. The lawsuit also claims the Gazette was illegally denied 7 records. There was no legal basis to refuse the records, yada, yada, yada. Public interest outraised any reason for denial. Simple stuff. So that was one of the reasons, because you're, you know, investigating, you know, the sheriff's office killing someone without a trial. I mean, we've seen this happen oh so many times throughout American history. I mean, don't even have to talk about the likes of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and countless others. We go back to Amadou Diallo and Rodney King, the latter of whom ultimately survived the beating that, you know, Los Angeles gave him. But, you know, there's so many cases. I mean, even any state across the country, you could probably find an instance of, you know, this sort of police brutality. I mean, obviously, in the wake of that political environment, given, you know, the protests that were happening, Kern County Sheriff's Office didn't want to, you know, have that come out for quite obvious reasons. So we'll get to the other lawsuit later because it is a doozy. So let's talk about the other people, the other politicians who commented on the situation. So both senators, you know, condemned James Lankford and Mark Wayne Mullen, both Republicans, both condemned the situation. Mullen condemned the, quote, disgusting, hateful rhetoric, and Senator Lankford called the situation, quote, embarrassing for the county and our state. Neither of whom called for resignations, though, at least not openly. Same thing with Representative Josh Burkeen, another Republican from Oklahoma's 2nd Congressional District. This is most of eastern Oklahoma is in this district. He called for accountability as well. So now we go on to Tuesday, and this is the second lawsuit. And this involves a defamation suit that reporter Chris Willingham filed against Sheriff's Office and Sheriff Clardy Manning and yada, yada, yada. So, and this suit was filed the same day as the recorded meeting, for what it's worth. So let's just go through this. So tweet thread from Aaron Christie of KJRH. So according to this lawsuit, the Curtin Gazette published an 8-part investigation between November 2021 and April 2022. The first article discussed reportedly tainted homicide evidence, you know, essentially tainting evidence to try and gain a conviction, you know, either false imprisonment or imprisoning an innocent person. Again, we've seen that countless times throughout American history, and it still happens countless times all across these United States. And the other important thing is that this first article that was published, it also addressed rumors of an affair that was happening between Sheriff Clardy and investigator Alicia Manning. This is where Alicia Manning comes into the situation. So another article discusses, you know, McCurtain County officials, they smell a rat, essentially. They think someone's leaking to the paper and we've got to get rid of them. So they were threatened to get search warrants for all their own deputies' cell phones to see who was talking to the paper. And they also want to get a search warrant for Willingham's cell phone to find out who he was talking to. There is also apparently a mass exodus of employees from the sheriff's department, probably as a result of this. I mean, obviously, don't want an overbearing work environment. I don't know anybody who does, and this just being an example of such, no wonder people decided to call it quits on the sheriff's department. But maybe there was another reason why they wanted to call it quits on the sheriff's department, because apparently this same lawsuit reports that a gang rape was not properly investigated. I mean, again, that is just a recurring theme throughout these United States of people who report sexual assault or rape just not getting the justice they deserve because, you know, police departments or sheriff's departments don't do their due diligence. And that's me being polite here. I mean, I'm trying to kind of, you know. And also in the article itself, you know, getting away from the whole, you know, not properly investigating gang rape in McCurtain County. It also reports that, you know, Alicia Manning's brother was promoted to undersheriff for the county. Now, again, nepotism. Common in county governments. Like, and a lot of smaller subdivisions of government. I mean, these they're shocking, but they're not surprising. But here's the most shocking part. Content warning. I discuss CP here. So this is where Alicia Manning comes in. The lawsuit claims that Alicia Manning retaliated because she told a third party via teleconference that the reporter, Chris Willingham, exchanged marijuana, weed, essentially, for CP videos from a man who was recently arrested for CP. That's where the defamation lawsuit part of this comes in. And the lawsuit says the statements are, of course, false and slanderous because essentially she's trying to get the reporter who was secretly recording them discussing bringing back lynchings of black people. She was discussing getting that man arrested for possession of CP and having him sent to jail for a long time. As you would do if you caught anybody doing or selling or possessing that sort of disgusting, vile, rank substance. So, of course, Willingham did not have any of this in his possession, obviously. And Willingham stated in the suit this quote caused him personal humiliation, impaired reputation, and mental anguish. You know, stuff you normally see in defamation lawsuits. You don't usually see CP allegations in defamation lawsuits, though, however. So that all happened. So, and if you think that the wildness stops here as we approach, 21 minutes of content, no, it does not. It does not stop here. Because now we get into bomb threats. Yes, actual bomb threats. So there was a bomb threat on the community hospital in Idabel. It was evacuated all patients and staff due to a bomb threat. The mayor said, Mayor Craig Young said, that the person making the threat claimed if the hospital did not denounce the McGurton County commissioners, the bomb would be detonated. Three questions here. One, who calls a bomb threat to a hospital? Like, I understand that, there have been instances, like, for example, in Boston, Massachusetts, Boston Children's Hospital was subjected to bomb threats. Because from far right, essentially terrorist, because Boston Children's Hospital provided gender affirming care for trans and non-binary people. So it's an essential for trans children as well. So this does happen. And also, speaking of bomb threats made, Keele, Wisconsin, Keele is a small town. But it was also subjected to basically multiple bomb threats throughout the town, essentially trying to shut the town down because Title IX was being used to protect a trans kid from getting bullied for being trans. So that's worrying. Secondly, why would a hospital have to answer for the actions of McCurtain County commissioners? And that leads me to my third question. Who did it? Who would have called in a bomb threat? Would it have been one of the people discussed? Would it have been an underling of Sheriff Clardy? Or would it have been someone related to them who was told to do this in order to make Willingham and the people who are investigating the department look bad? And try to say, well, no, they're trying to be terrorists against the county, that sort of stuff. Trying another form of essentially silencing dissent. Is that what's going on here? Who knows? But that happened. And also, apparently, Aaron Christie, again, valuable source of information here. Apparently, the county commissioners have massive involvement in running the hospital. She was trying to see, okay, well, what motives would there be for this hospital, random hospital, being called in? Apparently, the county commissioners have massive involvement in running the hospital. So that also brings in questions of whether this was a false flag to try and silence dissent. So, who knows? But on the same day, the Oklahoma Sheriff's Association Board of Directors unanimously suspended who they could from the association. So Sheriff Clardy, Captain Manning, and Jail Administrator Hendricks were all suspended. If you want to know about Mark Jennings, he couldn't be because he's a county commissioner. That's not under the Sheriff's Association's jurisdiction. But if you think this doesn't get wilder, you are sadly mistaken, and no, I'm not talking about Deontay. Because apparently, the Curtin Gazette published articles with concerns that Sheriff Kevin Clardy is a meth addict. The paper says the sheriff lifted requirements that deputies and the sheriff be tested for drugs, so eliminated drug testing. So there was pressure from the community, and the paper reported the sheriff agreed to do a urine test, which he tested negative for meth. But he would not do a hair follicle test. Now, the thing with difference between urine and hair follicles is that meth lasts longer in hair follicles than it does in someone's pee. And hair follicle test detects usage for longer than a few days prior to the test. And apparently the sheriff, at one point, according to the article, would apparently only do a test if the reporter for the paper agreed to one as well. But the sheriff ultimately refused. Now, granted, everyone is innocent until proven guilty. But still, allegations of the sheriff being a meth addict? Oh, good God. This is going to be made into a megabucks Hollywood movie someday, isn't it? And if you think I'm done, no. I'm not even close to done because apparently there was another bomb threat. This one at the McCurtain County Courthouse, which the profile picture at the Instagram post we make about this episode. Both were not credible. The mayor says they were both hoaxes, of course. But, dear God, authorities are, and Mayor Craig Young said authorities are still tracing the source of the threats, and you know, let Samson Tamijani, who is another reporter for KJRH, he would let that reporter know what he learned. So this is obviously still a developing situation. You know, whether this was a false flag operation, we'll hopefully know more about that soon. So that's a very eventful Tuesday. And now we go on to Wednesday. And this story has sort of, you know, kind of died down, not really, over the past couple of days. But there was indeed a resignation coming from County Commissioner Mark Jennings of the 2nd District. He has resigned. And Governor Kevin Stitt confirmed his resignation. So that happened. So one of the four county officials that I was discussing earlier, he has now resigned. But going on to the barracks situation, the Bobby Barracks situation I referred to earlier, who of course was killed while in the custody of McCurtain County Sheriff's deputies, his wife, Barbara Barrack, has filed a wrongful death civil rights lawsuit against the McCurtain County Commissioner, Sheriff Clardy, as well as a bunch of other deputies. The complaint claims deputies handcuffed Barrack, and again, content warning, we talk about someone who is getting killed by the police. Complaint claims that deputies handcuffed Barrack and used unreasonable force, which included the use of tasers. As deputies were removing him from the back of the vehicle, they were allegedly instructed to turn off their body cameras. So, yeah. And apparently, in the McCurtain News Gazette, apparently there was video that was published. And what McCurtain News Gazette does for videos and recordings like that, they have QR codes. McCurtain County Gazette, you know, they released two more articles. They included a QR code to body camera footage in the death of Bobby Barrack, and they also released the full 3-hour audio that William got. You know, in that resulted in these calls for resignation. So, yeah. So, going back to more politician, you know, outrage and reactions. State Senator George Burns, who represents McCurtain County in the State Senate, he's from the town of Pollard in McCurtain County, he called for resignations as well. He said, quote, "I personally spoke with both Mark Jennings and Sheriff Kevin Clardy and told them they needed to resign immediately." And he also called for Investigator Alicia Manning and Jail Administrator Larry Hendricks to, quote, "do the right thing and submit their resignations as well." So, yeah. So now what? now what? Because that's a lot of stuff. A lot of just explosive, wild allegations and events that have happened in the past week in this random county in Oklahoma. So, more on Barbaric. So, her attorney, so when she filed the wrongful death suit against the sheriff's office. So, Mitchell Garrett is her attorney, and he said yesterday that the OSBI, the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, was never called. There is no medical examiner report of the death, and that the sheriff's office, quote, basically washed their hands of the case after Barrick was airlifted to a hospital in Texas. And his client, Barbara Barrick, has never received a phone call from the sheriff's office. So, a bit more about the case itself. So, according to 911 calls, Barrick got into an altercation with a group of contractors, Bobby Barrick, inside a convenience store. He got an altercation with a group of contractors. They ended up hog tying him, you know, with ropes and whatnot. So whatever happened to that group of people, lawsuit claims no one knows. No one investigated that. And so the deputy wearing the body cam, Aaron Christie, spoke to that deputy, and that deputy said, quote, there were screams of, quote, they're going to kill me by Bobby Barrick. And the deputy says that he was referring to the contractors, not the officers. How true is that? Well, I don't know, because cops have a history across this country of, well, lying. I mean, they lied about George Floyd. They lied about, you know, in yesterday's newsflash, I talk about the fact that the cops lied in regards to Tortuguita's case, you know, regarding Cop City in Atlanta. So how trustworthy is this deputy? I don't know. Again, everyone's proven is innocent until proven guilty, but Barbara Barrick said, quote, she's grateful for the McCurtain Gazette for finally getting some answers. And she said up until this point, all she could rely on was gossip. No confirmed information about the situation or the death anywhere. So, yeah. What has happened as a result of this? Well, the McCurtain Gazette is finally getting a website and a YouTube. By the time you hear this episode, the McCurtain County Gazette will most likely have a news website and a YouTube. The website will include all past stories and a donate button. The YouTube will contain the audio recordings and the Bobby Barrick video that was only previously available to readers of the Gazette with the QR codes. So the McCurtain Gazette sports editor apparently said that all past stories are coming, including the possibility of every paper dating back to the 1900s. The stories leading up to this past week will be first, but the full site will follow in the coming weeks and months if all goes as planned. So, yeah, so with the new eyes of McCurtain County, I mean, that just sort of expedited the whole website YouTube thing. Fair enough. But what comes as a result of this? Let me be completely honest. This story is still developing. You know, what with the whole, you know, defamation lawsuit against the sheriff's office for essentially the McCurtain County Sheriff's Office, you know, threatening to essentially falsify evidence of a reporter having CP on his phone. And then, of course, not to mention the whole audio recording itself, which is what got us into the situation, the whole, you know, talking about how it's a shame that we don't do lynchings anymore and, you know, all the stuff about joking about a woman who was burnt to death in a house fire and, you know, also the whole murdering journalist thing. Hiring hitmen to murder journalists is not cool, y'all. But just, just for future reference, don't do that. Don't do any of these things. Just please, like, that. Just good human beings don't do these things generally. And I guess I'll end it on this, is that I would recommend, if you can, donate to your local newspapers, your local print newspapers, you know, in Alabama, whether it's in Tuscaloosa or Birmingham or anywhere you live across the nation, just donate to them, please. Like, this would not have happened if it wasn't for local journalism. And if local journalism does sort of fade out, and become less and less important, then stories like this, the corruption, the death threats, the open, just every little insane thing that has happened in McCurtain County, this would not have come to light without local journalism, without local reporting. So, to any journalism students, like, if you can't, like, please, do just get a job with your local paper, or get a job with Tuscaloosa papers, you know? Maybe get a job with Al.com, or maybe, you know, do what Lee Hedgepeth has done and essentially start your own Substack reporting on, you know, situations within the state of Alabama. Like, you could take inspiration from him, you could take inspiration from Chris Willingham. So, I don't have anything else to say. It's the most insane story that I've ever laid my eyes on, and I've been following politics since late 2015. So, oh man, this is insane. Thank you for listening to episode 6 of Halt to the Nation. Tomorrow, I'll be looking at Ron DeSantis. Does he have a chance to win the nomination? Under what circumstances can he win the nomination? And what are the pros and cons to his expected candidacy for president? All that and more will be coming tomorrow on Pulse of the Nation. This is Brandon Vick. Thank you for listening, and have a safe day.
Any opinions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not represent the thoughts or opinions of 90.7 WVUA or the University of Alabama.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.